Okay, so I'll be talking about the implementation of buprenorphine for treating opioid dependence in prison, and specifically the cost effectiveness of this medication. I have no relevant financial or personal interest to disclose. So as you all know, opioid dependence is a growing worldwide problem, and it's an extremely costly issue for the United States. Annually, the United States spends over $55 billion in criminal justice costs, health care, lost productivity, and unfortunately, since the war on drugs has started, there are really high rates of incarceration for opioid-dependent individuals. Some recent epidemiological studies estimate that as many as 20% of U.S. prison inmates are opioid-dependent, which is a staggering amount. Unfortunately, drug use is often occurring while individuals are incarcerated. Prison systems surveyed want to believe that prisoners are not obtaining opioid drugs while incarcerated, but toxicology screens show that it is happening. Unfortunately, opioid use during incarceration is associated with high rates of hepatitis C, HIV transmission, and poor outcomes post-release, including high rates of recidivism and high rates of overdose immediately after release. Currently, prisons have implemented several medication-free treatment strategies for treating this large population of opioid-dependent inmates. These are predominantly made up of peer support groups like AA or NA, low-intensity counseling, such as weekly individual or group treatment sessions, and many other prisons just offer untreated withdrawal as their treatment strategy for opioid dependence. Unfortunately, these medication-free strategies have high relapse rates. There's no evidence that any of these are really really effective. And many many individuals have cited ethical concerns behind untreated withdrawal and letting prisoners undergo the unpleasantness and discomfort with no medication. The World Health Organization, Center for Disease Control, and the National Institutes on Drug Abuse all advocate for the use of medication-assisted treatment for incarcerated individuals. However, unfortunately, medication-assisted treatment is not offered in most prisons currently. This is a map of a study completed in 2009 showing which prison systems offer either opioid replacement therapy, which is another word for medication-assisted therapy, which prison systems offer the medication or referral. And as you can see, a small number offer both medication and referrals to opioid-dependent inmates. The two most commonly used medication-assisted treatments currently are buprenorphine and methadone. You heard a little bit about buprenorphine in the last presentation. Methadone was the older medication-assisted treatment. It's a full opioid agonist. There's much literature showing that it is effective in treating opioid dependence. But unfortunately, due to its pharmacologic properties, methadone clinics are highly regulated. There are many policies dictating the use of methadone, so these clinics are harder to set up. Interestingly, more prisons are using methadone than buprenorphine at the moment. About 55% of prison systems in the United States have implemented methadone treatment. Unfortunately, only 50% of those have offer methadone to the entire population of opioid-dependent inmates. 50% only offer methadone to pregnant inmates or inmates with chronic pain. Buprenorphine is preferred by prison inmates. Several surveys have looked at which treatment inmates want, and they want buprenorphine. There's a lot of stigma against methadone use in prison, but prison officials and policymakers cite cost as a huge barrier to the implementation of buprenorphine. The majority of inmates either have no insurance or were on Medicaid and lose Medicaid upon entrance, upon incarceration. And prison systems are increasingly privatizing, so cost is a major barrier to implementing buprenorphine. So we were interested in looking at whether buprenorphine is actually cost-effective for treating opioid dependence in prison. By showing that buprenorphine is cost-effective, it might perhaps increase implementation for prison officials. We were looking at this issue from the point of view of the federal government or policymakers funding the federal prison system. And there were a few basic trade-offs between the two medications. The cost of the medication was a major issue. Buprenorphine is still far more expensive than methadone. The current prison medical setup was another issue. Although about 50% of prison systems have offered buprenorphine to some prisoners, the general prison system itself may be more suited for buprenorphine use since doctors need only be waivered. The number of staff required to distribute medication also differs between the two medications. Since methadone can be distributed in a liquid formulation and buprenorphine is currently used in most prison studies in sublingual films, so they take about 10 minutes to dissolve on the tongue. The drug formulation also has a big impact on diversion rate in prisons. Prison studies have shown that buprenorphine is much more easily diverted because it is a sublingual tab. But that also, there's trade-offs with that too, because even though buprenorphine is more easily diverted, the overdose risk is significantly lower with buprenorphine. So these are some of the trade-offs in our analysis. We created a Markov model to look at this health issue. So in a Markov model, you look at several different health states, and using probabilities found in the literature, we looked at the probability of simulated patients moving through these health states. So all patients in our model entered in medication-assisted treatment. Some were using and some weren't, and those values were taken from the current literature. And then based on the probabilities of relapsing, the probabilities of overdosing, the probabilities of getting off medication, everyone in the model could move through these different health states. And each health state was associated with different costs, also based on values found in the literature. All of our costs were in $2014 and discounted 3% per year. They were also adjusted for inflation. And to look at the effectiveness of these medications, we decided to use quality-adjusted life years and look at how many additional quality-adjusted life years individuals could expect to get being on either buprenorphine or methadone. Not much research on health utilities have been done for patients receiving medication-assisted treatment, so we found one study that looked at a combined sample of patients on methadone and buprenorphine. So our health utilities were identical in the base model for the two different medications. Health utilities usually run from 0 to 1, with 0 being the health utility of death and 1 being the health utility of perfect health. So you can see that the health utility of medication-assisted treatment was 0.867, much higher than the health utility of drug use, which was 0.588. We had to make a couple assumptions in this model. We assumed that the cost of psychosocial therapies would be identical regardless of the medication participants were on. Psychosocial therapy is a critical part of treatment, and we assumed that that was absolutely necessary and a cost that had to go with the medication. We also assumed that patients who drop out can't return to treatment and that patients can't switch treatment. Although this varies from community treatment, other prison studies have had these same assumptions, so these assumptions aren't too far removed from reality. We also assumed that every other day dosing of buprenorphine is effective, and that patients who are not using illicit drugs during a cycle, and our cycles were 1 month long, would not overdose. A lot of our base parameter estimates were similar for buprenorphine and methadone, but as you can see, some did vary. The probability of dying from an overdose is less with buprenorphine, but the probability of relapsing is higher. So there were some trade-offs based on values we found in the literature. And there were similar trade-offs that we found within the base case costs. The cost of buprenorphine per month would be higher per patient, but the initial cost of setting up the clinic would be much higher for methadone. So we looked at the cost effectiveness at 5 years and 10 years, since we assumed that if prisons implemented these medications, they would be implementing them for the long term. We found that at 5 years, methadone would cost the prison system about $49,000 per inmate. It would contribute about an extra 4.18 quality-adjusted life years. Buprenorphine was slightly more expensive, looked to be about $51,000 per inmate, and the effectiveness was only 4.16 quality adjusted life years per inmate. So we found actually that buprenorphine was more costly and less effective at 5 years. We found really similar results at 10 years. We found that buprenorphine was about $4,500 more expensive than methadone and slightly less effective in terms of quality adjusted life years. Because values in the literature are not exact, different studies come up with different relapse rates, different retention rates, mortality rates. We varied each variable over a plausible range to try to get an idea of which variables might impact the outcomes of our model. And we found that the model was not sensitive to startup costs, retention rates, mortality rates, relapse rates, overdose rates. When we varied these over plausible ranges, methadone was still the more cost-effective. But we found that the monthly cost of buprenorphine and the utility of methadone had major impacts on the model. Buprenorphine has been patented for a much longer time than methadone. So it's currently still far more expensive. But if the cost of buprenorphine went down to about $79 per patient, buprenorphine would be equally as cost-effective as methadone for the prison system. And if it decreased below about $79 per patient per month, it would actually be the more cost-effective option. The other parameter that changed the outcomes of the model was the utility of methadone. And only slight decreases in the utility of methadone would make buprenorphine equally cost-effective. So overall, we found that methadone was more cost-effective than buprenorphine at 5 and 10 years based on our base case estimates, but that the two had nearly identical costs and effectiveness. Changes in some of our variables such as relapse rates, costs, retention rates, would not impact these outcomes, but the results are sensitive to changes in the cost of buprenorphine and utility of methadone. So if the cost of buprenorphine comes down, prison systems would benefit from considering the use of buprenorphine instead of methadone. And we really need further research on examining the health utilities for patients on methadone and buprenorphine. Patients tend to complain about more side effects when they're on methadone, which could really impact the quality of life. And patient preference also plays into this. Patients do prefer buprenorphine, so this could have an impact on the health utility of methadone and a great impact on the results. Thank you.